Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
What's up, Aaron? Happy Friday to you.
Hey, nice new scenery. What happened to the gear garage? Is that getting refurbished or something?
It's hot in there. I have air conditioning here. The gear garage is right there, as you know.
Yep.
But it's hot, so there's air conditioning right now, so I can stand being here. I have my wonderful painting of Guru Padmasambhava, otherwise known as Guru Rinpoche. He's the spiritual leader of the Himalayan Buddhist, like a certain type of Buddhism. So that's him and his two consorts and his eight manifestations. What have you been doing, Aaron? You've been on Subway, right?
Yeah, just completed a couple of Subways. Can you hear me okay? You're a little broken up there.
I can hear you. Okay. For those of you who didn't know, Aaron is in Idaho in this hidden location. His internet is kind of shaky, so I may have to carry the show.
Yeah, I'm on one of those little devices. We'll see how it goes. What is it, a jetpack? We'll see if it works well enough to do this and how much this is going to cost at the end of the day. But just got off a couple of Subways. It was fantastic. Everyone on the trip said it was way better than the Middle Fork, you know, so.
Of course they're going to say that when they're there with you. Nobody's like, oh no, this river is not as good as somewhere else.
No, they were talking amongst themselves. They're just like, yeah, I mean, they're like, the Middle Fork's beautiful, but there's just so many people around. So.
Okay. So the Middle Fork is a better trip, hands down. You did the third best river trip. Some could say the fourth best river trip in the country. That's great. Great. Good job. It's still a great trip. But I think that people are being polite by saying that. And the only advantage of the Subway over other trips is that it's exclusive. Only a few of you get to go. It's like
there's very few spots.
Yeah, you don't see the group. You don't see the group.
So hold on, Zach. If the Middle Fork is so great, was the Middle Fork one of the, was it included in the original Wilderness Act?
The Frank Church Wilderness wasn't, but it was too big. That
it
wilderness,
wasn't.
They can't.
What do you mean? It's just a little bigger than the Selway Bitterroot.
No. 2 million acres.
Selway Bitterroot was like 10% of the original wilderness for the Wilderness Act.
Yeah, no. The wilderness covers land, not the river, right? The river's cool. It's a great river. I mean, it's awesome. The Middle Fork has better fishing. It has hot springs.
You're just jealous because you don't have a permit on the Selway. No, you can't go do trips there. So you down talk it because it's not.
I'm not.
It's not on
no,
the
I did it.
All your list.
Aaron, you started this. I'm just saying the Middle Fork has diversity of geology and scenery. No. The Selway is a beautiful forest. It's very forest. If you love trees, you'll love
clearly
it.
Clearly, you don't remember the trip much because it's not all forest. There's diversity of scenery there too.
Yeah, the hikes were there. Were hikes? I did as much hiking as I could, but I wouldn't call them.
No, you must have gone with a crappy outfitter or something. If you're going to say the hiking on the Middle Fork's better, there's tons of good hiking on the Selway.
The hiking in the Middle Fork's definitely better, like hands down.
No way. Like, no way.
There's nowhere on the Selway like hiking from, hiking up to Johnson Point or up to Apparel Point
like,
or.
What about Schistler Peak? Is there anything like Schistler Peak?
I don't know. Probably. Anyway,
no, because you haven't even done it. You haven't even done the hikes. You guys just hung out camp drinking.
I did as many hikes as I hiked as much
the whole time.
No, I hiked as much as I could. I just want to say the Selway is a very elitist river, and for us,
there's a great hike up Bear Creek. There's a great hike down at Three Links.
Sure.
There's numerous great hikes out of Tony Point.
Sure, they're fine. I'm sure they're great.
Waterfalls. You can go to Salmon Hole.
Aaron, we need to move on because us just bickering about which really awesome trip is better than the other is almost as elitist as doing the Selway to begin with. So it's definitely the most elitist trip. We got to move on. We're going to lose viewers by our elitism. Welcome home from your Subway trips.
Thanks. Good to be back. Yep. Well, kind of good to be back. But
I want to do a couple things. This whole show is going to talk about pushing versus pulling because we've had a ton of debates in-house. We've been around people who are pushing too much. It's been a common theme of my last month, and I want to have a show about it to share some video and talk about different things. But before we do, I want to start with a trivia question. Heidi wanted us to do a trivia this week to give away one of these hats. These are really nice hats that we had made. And so the winner of this trivia question can win a hat. Hey,
come on, make yourself bigger and let's see. Show us the hat up close. What does it say on it?
It says Northwest Rafting Company.
Oh, wow. So okay.
You don't like it all of a sudden.
That's kind of a cool looking hat. That is. It's almost retro. It's almost like the Bula hats from back in the 80s or the 90s. Remember those? The ones with the little neoprene here.
Oh, yeah. This is made by a company. My hair's a mess. It's made by Territory Run Company. It's a trail running company. We had a trail runner on a trip last year who was like, you should get these hats made. They're sweet. I looked into it and they are sweet. The nice thing about it is like it fits under a helmet. So you can wear it with the helmet on the river. I've been running in mine a ton. It's great for when you're exercising.
And, why is it great? Is it a young man hat or is it an old man hat?
It's a young man hat. It's just comfy.
It's not like this. It doesn't protect your bald spot.
It's mesh. It's kind of mesh on top.
Turn around the back. Let's see the back. Does it protect your bald spot?
I don't know. Is that my bald spot? It protects from the sun.
If you had a shaved head underneath there, would you need to put some?
Oh, you wouldn't get sunburned. But it breathes. So when I love running in this hat, and it's comfy. Okay. The other thing is it scrunches up. Like I put it in my PFD, and then I can just pull it out and throw it back on. That's like very scrunchable. Anyway, it's a nice hat. They're expensive. And so how do you want us to do a trivia question for this? It feels like an advertisement for the hat, which is what we're doing, which we're not doing. But we have a trivia question.
Out there sponsoring you and giving you free hats.
We have a sponsor we got to get to too, Aaron, which is, we got a lot to do before we start the show. This is a photo from, look how long you are there, Aaron. You're like a puppy. You probably had hair in that photo under the helmet.
Oh, I had a lot of hair. It's amazing that helmet could fit on my head back then.
Yep. That's when you had an afro. You were an early person in covering your body though. We were all wearing short sleeve t-shirts and shorts, and there you're in your long sleeve shirt and your little bill for your helmet. The trivia question is guess the rapid, and you only get one guess. Nobody gets the multiple guess. If you can guess the rapid, and this is super doable, but also hard. Like it made it challenging on purpose. If you can guess the rapid, you can win this hat. If you don't want a hat, I got tons of other cool stuff to send you. I have books and shirts. Just tell me what you want and I'll send it to you within reason. But I'm guessing people want the hat. So that's today's trivia question. And so
you're making them sound awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you one. Sounds amazing. Yeah, send me your address. I'll mail you one. Or if you come by my house, are you coming by my house in the next couple of days?
I'll come by your house the next couple of days.
I'll leave one for you.
Yeah, okay, I have a gift for Heather, so we'll come by.
Okay. That's our trivia question. Guess that rapid. And I want to tell you about our sponsor, Aaron. Do you even know about this? You got to bring them up.
Yes, River Gear Shed Hardware.
River Hardware Company. That's River Hardware is my little side business that sells things. That's our unofficial sponsor. Our real sponsor is GoRafting.com.
What? We have a real sponsor?
Real sponsor. They actually sponsor the show. And GoRafting.com has a bunch of – did you know about GoRafting.com, Aaron?
No.
They have a bunch of guides to rivers. So, like, you know how I have Whitewater Guidebook with a bunch of guides? And you have – what's your website? BR Expeditions. Yep. And so, like, we have – I think the future – oh, here they want to get signed up for their news. The future is online guidebooks, right, where the information is there. You can read it at home. And if it changes, you can update it. Right. So I think old written guidebooks are kind of old school, like either YouTube guides or online guidebooks are the key. This is the Grand Canyon.
So you can have your phone out on the river.
Yeah.
And you can watch the video. Do they have videos for each rapid to see how to run it too?
No, but they have an app. There's an app, this app called Far Out is a separate app. And they have Go Rafting has made maps for the app. So you could use this app to like climb Mount Whitney. You could use it to go over a hike somewhere. You could probably use it for other similar things. Hmm. Here, you have it on the river with you. I used it on my Grand Canyon trip. And you just like, you know where you're at because it has your GPS on the map. And it tells you how many miles it is to where you're going, which is kind of cool. And there's some photos. You can see here, there's a photo of some of the rapids. I don't know if there's video or not. But you download the whole package for that river. And it's there with you. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, on your phone. So you don't have to have data? That's nice.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't even, like in the Grand Canyon, you don't have data. So you download whatever it is, a bunch of megabytes, and then it's there. So like the Grand Canyon, that's $24.99. I know what I was gonna check out actually, is the Middle Fork. They have a Middle Fork of the Salmon. Oh, Rockies. Middle Fork of the Salmon. They don't have maps for all the rivers yet. They're working on it. But the river changed. You know, there was a blowout at let's see, Ramshorn. And looky here, on August 13, 2022, the creek has a debris flow, blah, blah, blah. And then also Velvet Falls. It doesn't talk about the change of Velvet Falls yet, but at least there's updated information about Ramshorn. So I think that's the really cool thing about this, is it has up-to-date information.
So you have to re-download it before you go, and then pay another $25 every time you go on the river to get the updated information, or do you once you pay once?
That's a good question for the people. I mean, Aaron, we're just the sponsors. I don't know anything about this. I used it. You probably have to re-download it, but once you've bought the map,
but if you're, it's like 10 years later, it's just a good idea to re-download anyways to see the updated.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for it every time. I don't.
It's $25. Pretty sure you're going on a beach trip.
Pretty cool. There's some international rivers. I'm going to Iceland in September, and they have the East Glacial. Maybe I'll get the East Glacial and take it with me. Although I can't imagine, you know, getting a, what is this, like 17 kilometers. Yeah. You know, if you're traveling internationally, it's something you might want. Craig says pay once. Craig must know. So anyway, that's our sponsor. Pretty cool, huh?
Wow. I'm just impressed you have a sponsor.
I know, me too.
Sponsored by GoRafting.com.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, and, if they give me a hat, I would have worn it.
Maybe they will. Maybe you'll get a sticker. Maybe you'll get they'll get you a tattoo. Will you get a face tattoo that says "Go
Free Tattoo"? Yeah, free tattoo, free forehead tattoo.
All right. So we went. So just to go back for those of you who came in late, if you want to, the trivia question for the day, we're about to start the content section. You know, and that we did the gentle conversation. We did our sponsor. Just remember, this is our trivia question. Everybody gets one guess. If you guess the rapid, you can win a hat or something else. Good luck, Heidi. Okay, so can I move on to
so far talk no about... guesses on the rapid, huh? No one wants to win the hat. Wow.
It's a hard guess. It's a hard one.
It would have been cool if GoRafting.com gave us like one free download for someone if they won our competition.
Well, they got to make money somehow, Aaron.
No. I'm just saying 1-3, you know, that would have been nice, huh?
It's in our best. Oh, here we go. It's in our best interest for them to make money because they sponsor us. We don't want to have them, hey, sponsor us and give your product away for free. We want people to buy the product. Is this the answer, Aaron? Man, good job, Sawyer. Nice.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. But this is even more. I mean, this was first and even more descriptive. I mean, that's. Keen eyes. So
maybe that was a little too easy of a question there.
I think it's hard. I think it's a hard one.
Well, you know what the follow up question should be is, where is Zach's Falls on?
I almost put up a photo of Zach's Falls as the question.
Well, we should put up a photo. People should know where it is. They should be able to tell you where the rapid is.
They should. Maybe that's a future trivia question. I'll work on that.
Where is Zach's Falls?
Send
Is it Zach's Crack? I think it was Zach's Crack, if I remember correctly. That was the actual name.
Zach's Falls. Crack. It's Zach's Falls. So Sawyer, if you let me go to here, Whitewater Guidebook. This is our website. Go to add a question or comment. Send us your address through this. I'm leaving for the Middle Fork after this show. I'm driving to Idaho. So if I don't get this in the next, I probably won't ship it to you for like 12 days, but the hat's on its way. Just send us your address through this. Maybe I'll ship it before I leave. It's kind of doubtful. But if those of you that want to know where Zach's Falls is, we'll go look on the Tuolumne River. It's one of the most notorious rapids on the river. Let's see. There it is at mile one. Oh, wait. Why isn't it listed? Oh, there's no mile marker for it. It's just a photo. Anyway, there's a photo of Zach's Falls. I gotta change that. I should put a description. I'll have to work on that. I thought I wrote a description.
What a great guidebook there. Great guidebook.
Well, that's why people should go to GoRafting.com. I bet you Zach's Falls is not on GoRafting.com, but maybe we can get them to put it on there. So Okay, so can we start doing the show, Aaron?
Yep, let's do it.
You know, what I want to talk about today is pushing versus pulling. And this has come up lately because we've been around people who have been taught that pushing rapids is better. Or they think that if you push, like guides who've been guiding for a long time or good boaters can push rapids. But then people come in that aren't as good or don't know the river as well, and they start trying to push as well, and they get themselves in trouble. And we just see it over and over and over. And if I was like an awesome guide and I went to the Selway, which I've only done once, I'm not going to push every rapid, right? If I was a Selway guide, I might push quite a bit because I've memorized the lines. I know everything. I can see that. So like, my issue is like people think that pushing either makes you cooler, it's superior, or people have been taught that by somebody who maybe has an ego and is like, oh, pushing's way cooler. And I think there's not enough people who have respect for pulling. Any thoughts about that? Or the downstream ferry?
I think it goes both ways. I think there's problems on both sides of that coin.
Like there's people who push too much
and always pull and pull. They want to pull everything. They're always pulling upstream, and they're pulling in places where it makes no sense. And I think there's people who try to push everything, and that doesn't make sense either. Sorry, got a wasp in here.
Aaron, I'm with you 100%. Like people shouldn't just push.
You need to use both, and you need to be able to use a downstream ferry. If you're going to be, you know, a good boater, you need to be able to do all of them.
Yep, absolutely. And I think what happens though is the people who are good boaters are a little cocky, and they try to push too many things, and that sets an example for newer boaters that's what they should be doing. I don't think it's because they're too cocky.
I think because a lot of times pushing is easier.
I think there's.
For example, at Bedrock, pushing is easier. If you know what you're doing, pushing is much easier because you can see where you're going. It's straightforward.
Yeah, but Aaron, 1% of boaters need to 1% of boaters need to push that rapid. Like the problem if you push it, we know Robbie, we saw the video, he pushed it. You could push it, Aaron. I don't know. I could probably push it. I'm not sure I want to try. I mean, why would I push it?
Like it's I not would that hard say to pull it. Robbie more floated it than pushed it.
Yeah, I mean he knows the line, he's very comfortable in that kind of water. If you're timing and everything is dialed, you can push this move that nobody else, very few people have any reason to be pushing this rapid. The problem with Robbie pushing it.
How many people screwed up pulling? I wonder if we'd have less problems if everyone pushed it.
No, we'd have more. You're weaker pushing. Why would you do that?
No, because I think people pull, they lose their angle a lot and don't realize their angle, and they lose and they start pulling upstream because they're not good at downstream. And I haven't seen very much success when people are pulling upstream in Bedrock.
Pulling upstream in Bedrock is a bad idea too. I agree. People should be pulling to shore, pulling 90 degrees of the current, or even downstream ferrying, or at least just pulling to the shore. The problem with Robbie pushing it is then the other guides on the trip see that and say, I need to emulate Robbie to
no
prove
one's
myself.
Having problems because they push it. They don't even scout the rapids, Zach.
A lot of people do.
I know, and then they get lost out there because they're looking at it from shore and it looks way different than when they get out there.
Do not tell people they shouldn't scout Bedrock. It absolutely helps. You need to see, like, if you've memorized the rapid, it doesn't help. But if it's your first time
there, you don't have to memorize the rapid. You just have to know that you're going right, and you just have to look down and be like, where is the soonest I can go
right? A lot of people know they have to go right and still don't make it. A lot of people. So this isn't like...
No, not a lot of people. A few people don't make it right. Most people make it right. I'd say 95% of people make it right or more.
Not from what I'm seeing. I mean, my trip, we had 8 boats and 2 didn't make it. I'm hearing stories, man.
You know what I mean? That's 25%. And your trip is, I don't know, I'd say they just got a little unlucky. Once one person doesn't make it, there's a higher probability the second doesn't make it. I'll say that.
Okay. Anyway, I just want to make the case. What I have seen from 2 different people on 2 different rivers in the past few weeks. I wasn't there. I get lots of reports in my job. is the people are pushing rapids they have no business pushing, trying to emulate others who are pushing. That's why they're doing it. They're trying to show off or like prove themselves by pushing a rapid, having no business pushing it, and that's getting them in trouble. And so I think we need to have pushing is a valuable technique, so is pulling, and so is the downstream ferry. Yeah, totally. I think that we should be using all the techniques based on what to use. And so the question Jay's got ahead of me, in the order that we teach it and the order that we think people should do it, would be start by pulling. Like learn to pull first, because then if there's a hazard, you can pull away from the hazard and get to safety. If there's a log in front of you, pull away from the line to the log. Pulling, then pushing, then downstream ferry. That's the order
I'm gonna say this. I think that's a very respectable way to go. I don't think it's the only way to go.
It's the only way to go.
If the water is deeper, I like getting perpendicular current and moving backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. And then turning if you need to, but pushing, pulling. I mean, if you have a really heavy boat, I mean, then pulling makes more sense for certain stuff. But then I'm doing a downstream ferry. I think you almost should be teaching a downstream ferry first, if you really want to be honest, because that's the most important skill.
I agree. It's really hard to teach that first. People struggle if you just start with that.
I'm not saying start with it. But yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna say if you're gonna go do the South Fork of American, you can push or pull. You're fine. Most class three, you can push or pull. You're probably fine. If you're gonna do the Rogue, you can probably push everything if you need to. If you get in trouble, it's nice to pull, but you need a downstream ferry for Blossom. You need that technique for Blossom.
Are you really downstream ferrying Blossom, or is it more of?
I am.
You can't downstream ferry into Blossom. Where are you catching the eddy water? Up above mm-hmm. the rock?
No. Yeah, pretty high. I'm breaking laterals. Once I broke the laterals, I spin, I'm through.
I can do 90 degrees.
They're like little laterals. Big. Yeah, but you still got to, like, people go in those laterals and get surfed over. I just break the laterals. As soon as I've broken them, I just turn them down. We're getting the weeds. I have some video that I found that I think sort of demonstrates this. And I think this video, for this, Aaron, I chose all Velvet Falls because I think it's just nice to be consistent. I think right here, are they pushing or pulling? He's pushing. Like being at this angle right now, the laterals are funneling you to the middle.
Yep.
And the V is going to the hole. And so if I was pushing, I would be pointed to the left instead, breaking through laterals. Do you agree?
Yeah.
So he's just pushing. His pushing is not doing anything here, really.
Is he pushing or is he pulling?
He was pushing. You see, he's still pushing. And now he's trying to get left. And now he's pulling, I think.
Into the hole. Nice.
And so I just want to go back.
So you spent 10 hours looking through video to find videos to support your thesis.
No.
This is like bias confirmation right here.
I Googled Velvet Falls flip just to show people making mistakes. I have success too. We'll get into that. I think the key here is that right here. Can you see it right here? You have to break through this, right? If he's parallel to this. And so no matter what he does, he's not going to get out of this V. It's going right to the hole.
So yeah, he should push left.
He could push left. I'm going to pull. I would downstream ferry, but good boater.
I would downstream ferry here as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you want to be careful about pulling. If you have a light boat and you try to catch this up high, it's going to be messy.
Yeah. I think he's trying to ferry into it. So right now he's pulling and he's trying to ferry left. It's just not going to work. This lateral he's hitting right now is going to surf him back to the middle. And because he's pointed right, he's probably tracking right as well. Right, like he's now trying to pull over, But this lateral needs to get broken. He doesn't break the lateral. This lateral serves him back in the middle. And the right in the hole. So this is what I'm seeing in Velvet Falls over and over and over. People are trying to pull across that lateral, across the eddy line. And they need to like either drive across it by a hard, aggressive forward.
You're saying the pulling is not the right technique.
Well, so I think, yeah, I mean, in this case, it's not. I'm saying there's two good techniques. Right here, let's go back. Like right here, this is where pulling gets a bad rap sometimes, because he's just basically like at a little bit of an angle trying to ferry over. Pulling is not the technique here. Unless he like turns the boat to the right and is facing the shore, is 90 degrees of the current and pulling himself to the left or break through that lateral or even being downstream. I know you're trying to disagree with me right now. You're trying like, man, how can I disagree? How can I put it?
I'm falling asleep, actually.
When our own show puts you to sleep, that's not good. And then the aftermath. The other interesting thing here, see, I was grabbing his danger line. And how loose it is. And then he goes to the handle. Like, this is my point. Like, handles are way better than these danger lines. Perimeter lines. Like, he went for the
perimeter
handle.
Perimeter lines or danger lines?
Perimeter lines. I should have used the term perimeter lines. And the other thing I noticed in this when I watched this is, like, instead of just holding on to the line, he needs to be aggressively self-rescuing. And this is where he could have gotten in trouble. The boat gets kind of stuck on a rock. If the boat gets stuck, he goes under that boat. Like, just holding onto the handle is not necessarily good there. Oh. All right, here's another one. I'm going to move on. So this is low water, and this dude's pulling a bunch. What do you think? Is this the right?
I like how aggressive of an angle he's getting to pull at times.
Yep. He's not, like, the last guy was kind of ferrying to pull. This guy's like 90 degrees the current and just pulling himself.
Yeah. He's not.
He has to watch his downstream.
He's not working
against
the river that much.
Yep. That's kind of what the last guy was doing. Is like he was pointed at like a ferry angle. He's working across the river there, though. Or maybe he's purposefully slowing down. But I think this is a good example of like good pulling. He's just kind of taking his time, going slow. Now this is much lower water, so it's way easier. Anything you do differently there, Aaron?
Yeah. It's working for him. He could do it with a lot less strokes if he pushed some of it and got more angle, more consistent. Like right here, he could have had a little more angle earlier, pushed a little more perpendicular to the current, and it would have been easier to get over.
Okay. Here's another one. I'm gonna tell you the first thing I notice. I will see this a lot is his handles are too far apart. He's not getting a really effective strokes. He needs to have like the handles need to be closer to each other. It's just an oar length issue. This 3.8 feet. The 3 feet to 6-7 feet is the flippy flow. Are you happy with this so far, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a little, like it cuts in and out for me.
He's going for the push. He's trying to push across steady line. It just doesn't make it. But he gets
to that's a nice line.
Yeah.
Just run the meat. Hate it a little.
It's Just run the meat.
Let's watch that again.
Well, I got to bring it up again. And
hey, Zach, is our podcast on Spotify?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Is it on Spotify?
Yeah, yeah. I have to upload this to like the website, but once I do, it automatically goes to Spotify.
Really?
Yeah. Why do you ask?
People were asking on my last trip.
Oh, I was on this trip. Velvet was hard, but yeah, I like below 2-3 velvet. You can really, it's not that hard. Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
man.
Like, low water.
That's awesome. We're on Spotify. Oh, cool.
Wait, watch the show. What are you doing? We're on a show, Aaron. Do that later.
We're not going to be a show. It's this part.
We're not
going
to be a show here in a little bit if you.
I like his angle of his push there. He's pushing. But then
yeah, but he doesn't break the eddy line. I mean, the eddy line just spits him out.
He gets over where he needs to. He hits the left side.
He gets lucky. Like, this is where pushing isn't working, I think.
It's totally working.
The eddy line spits him back in the middle. He got lucky. Like if he was downstream fairing, he would crush into the eddy and be done. Here, he hits the eddy line, and now he's straight downstream. Like, he did not cross the eddy line. And he's going into the hole where the last guy flipped. They just got lucky. Like, he right here, he's building momentum. He has an angle on any line. It bounces him. It basically takes his bow. He makes a mistake and he doesn't cross it.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that is even when you're pulling, if you're in a light boat, you got to keep pulling after because it pushes you back in and you got to fight back
in.
And you are right. It's really hard to do that pushing.
It's doable. It's definitely doable. But it's hard.
If you got huge guns like Zach, you can do it. For us skinny folks, it's really hard to do that.
And like, even like, I feel like I'm pretty strong and like I can push a lot of moves other people can't, but I wouldn't push that move. Like, there's no reason to. Like, if I was showing off for somebody, but I'm not going to make that 1 out of 10 times. Like, if I don't want to take a chance, I should just pull that move.
Yep.
All right, here's another boat. Here's another one. This is a decent flow. I don't know what the flow is, but you can see Velvet Creek coming in pretty hard.
Did we already watch this one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
We already watched this video.
I think this is the one I wanted to watch. So here we are from the bottom looking up. Aaron, if you want people to watch the show, you can't fall asleep. You can't complain about how boring it is. And you can't be searching Spotify.
It's a mediocre rafting show.
That's true.
We're mediocre. All right. Oh, that's a nice line. The first one. Oh, what happened to the second person? They nailed it. That was great lines.
I mean, they were.
And then one guy went down completely backwards. He wasn't even looking at him. He's just spinning around. He pushed in, spun around, and went down backwards. Did the first guy
Which
do that?
Shows how easy to do that. Is. I mean, they both didn't do much. This is, first of all, there's a boat spacing issue here. They're too close. Like, they're going to. This is when boat spacing. Like, they're. Boat two can't do anything because boat one's in the way. Like, I like
tight. They're running tight. Issue. They're running tight.
Yeah, not on purpose. They just both kind of got lucky. The thing about Velvet is you can get super lucky or you can get super unlucky.
They made the move. That was a nice lines.
Yeah, they're pretty proud of themselves. And so how do you think this cat boat's going to do?
Well, it looks already like it's not going to make it where it wants to go. Oh, wow. Got over the corner. It was really taken back there. That's nice. Do they have two sets of oars or does the person on the front have the oars?
No, that's like a fishing. The person in front has like a fishing thing. So here's somebody else.
They have two sets of oars. Them. They both have oars. Oh, no.
No, they right. don't.
Yeah. That would be rad. Two sets of oars.
There you go. There's a flip.
Is that a cat? I mean, that's a
raft. Oh. They were just a little further to the right. It's luck. And that's a fast flip,
no,
too.
No, they're way further right. That's not luck. Look at them. They're not. They're way out in the middle right now.
All
right. Their momentum, they're too far left to start, so their momentum is taking them back to the right. Those other boats are more in the middle with momentum going back to the left.
To river left. Makes sense. It's morbid. I think this is the same people, different angle. I found, like, I was looking at, this is that caplet that makes it through. And then this is...
doing some construction?
Yeah, yeah.
It is the gear garage, so.
It is the gear garage.
Oof. Oh.
All right, I think we're almost done with the video I had. Okay, so I want to share two more videos, and we'll be done with this, and you can take your nap. I want to share Brody's line from last week. This is the new Velvet Falls, by the way. This is, do you know what changed, Darren?
I didn't.
So
well, I heard about it. I heard about it, but I didn't realize it changed enough to be a big deal.
It's actually a big deal. There's a big, I don't know if you saw the beginning, there's a big landslide. Let me go back.
Yep.
Do you see that land? That's all new. And somewhere, people have been popping boats somewhere here, and I haven't got the details yet, but there is, people think there's a board of the nail somewhere. There's some pop, a sweet boat even popped. So we don't know where it is yet. So this entrance is different. It's not a big deal. You just like plopping down.
Hey,
I think that.
Hey, Zach, yeah. Does the Idaho Centennial Trail go through the Middle Fork?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, well, because it goes through the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness.
The Idaho Centennial Trail, who cares?
Yeah, it's like the John Muir Trail of Idaho. Or the Arizona Trail. You got the Arizona Trail goes through Arizona. The Idaho Centennial Trail goes through the Selway Bitterroot.
That doesn't make the Selway a better trip. Just because some name trail goes through it.
Does the Middle Fork of the Salmon Trail? Hiking being better. We talked about the hiking. And like they decided to put the hiking trail that the state's most renowned hiking trail through the Selway Bitterroot. And so there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. And I assume you would know if it went through the Middle Fork, since you are a Middle Fork outfitter and you know all about that river. So you would know that, right?
Yeah, but I also wouldn't care that much. It's just like, it's just some name trail. Like, doesn't mean the hiking's better. It just means it's a name trail.
It's a special trail from top to bottom of Idaho that you can hike, that people hike.
Have you hiked it?
Nope. I hiked parts of it in the Selway Bitterroot. It's beautiful.
Yeah, whatever. I'm Googling it right now. Centennial Trail. It must go through the Frank Church. It might not be the Middle Fork, but it must go through the Frank Church. Let's see what this trail is all about. I can't see a map of it. I'm going to look this up later.
Are you searching online during the show, Zach?
I need to stop. Okay. So anyway, I want to get this is Brody's line. I think this is.
Okay. Well, like he's dodging position. Stuff up above. He's kind of pulling a little bit of an angle up. Luckily, Brody's super buff.
But I think what Brody's doing here is, and he's watching this downstream more, is he's taking a pretty aggressive angle. Like he's a lot of times 90 degrees of the current and pulling to where he needs to be. Brody can push this move. Brody definitely can push this move, but he's choosing to pull because it's conservative. That turns the boat. And I do this a lot. Like when I'm 90 degrees, hold on. I'm pulling 90 degrees, getting in the middle of the current, getting myself to one side, and then spinning. Here he goes. He's going to turn all the way around, now face the river right shore, and then make his right to left move to make the move here above it. And so he has a pretty aggressive angle here. It's not that hard. And I think this is good pulling. He's even a little downstream there. And has no problem. This is the new Velvet, though. Like, the holes change, too. The hole's easier.
Wow. Well, I think that's the big thing, Zach. If you're going to pulling, when you talk about pulling, I think most people think pulling upstream. And in general, I'm not a big fan of pulling upstream. I think getting more of an angle makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think I'll pull upstream to.
And by pushing, sometimes it sets you up better to pull going back the other direction. So that's what I think you need to push and pull, because if you want to get more extreme angles pulling, like get more perpendicular to the current, to bring it all around to the other side takes a long time. But if you push it, so you set it up so you can pull something, that works out well. So I really think you want to use them in combination.
Oh, for sure. Like here, I would probably do the same thing Brody's doing. Like there's time. Like I'm going to pull one way, turn it around, pull the other way. Like that's fine. But there's times where I'll push a move and then turn and pull it back. Or not even turn, just pull it back the other way. I think the key, the point I want to make is that both techniques are good techniques. And to be a good boater, you should be using both techniques. It's just like just pushing is a bad idea. And this might seem like to you like, duh, I'm having this conversation with people who are like, no, pushing. Pushing is where it's at. You got to push everything. Not just one or two people. Like it's come up over and over and over. And there's value to pulling moves.
I saw in a bathroom somewhere up here in Idaho, like only forward or never back paddle or something like that. Something to that extent, never back paddle. And you're just like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So
I think in Idaho specifically, like if you're a cap boater, like the North Fork of the Payette really lends itself to pushing, like pushing through laterals with cap boats.
Yep.
Where Cherry Creek is more of a pulling run. You're trying to drop momentum, go over a drop, make a move over, go over a drop. So like we're looking at two different class five runs in the US. One of them is very push friendly. One of them is very pull friendly. If you're a North Fork cap boater, you go to Cherry Creek, you're kind of get kind of hammered if you don't know how to pull. And so different rivers have different techniques. In Idaho, rivers do lend themselves to pushing more in general. I'm going to say like, the style of river in Idaho, generally more of a pushing river. Do you agree with that?
Versus which is the pulling river?
Cherry Creek.
I think
you're not going to push your way down.
Yeah, at Cherry Creek, you're pushing and pulling all the time.
You do like, both.
Okay, I'm pushing guillotine. I'm pushing the screw. Go around the corner. I push most of jawbone, and then you get down to mushroom. You're pulling a lot in mushroom. You're pulling a lot in toadstool. Then in
Lewis's leap.
Well, Lewis's leap. You're pushing a lot of it. Cause you're pushing out to it, dropping over, pushing back across at the bottom a lot of times. And then Unknown Soldier, you call that pushing. You're not, well, you're pulling up the top and you're pushing it. You do a lot of mixture. Blind Faith, you're pushing, pulling. Same with Slammer Wave, Sky King, you're pushing, pulling. Yeah, you're doing both. You're doing a lot of both.
Really doing both.
It would be interesting to count strokes someday. And I'd almost want to ask the guys who's up there, was like, do you think you do more pulling strokes or pushing strokes in a day? You know, it would be interesting if you could keep count. It's like someone videos themselves and you count, or your paddle crew, are they doing more?
I bet somebody like Adam paddles. I bet Adam, who does it a bazillion runs there, pushes more because he has it super dialed.
No, the lines are the same. We all do the same lines, though. We all are doing basically the same.
Well, you guys who are like guiding there all the time know the run. Like if from a raft perspective, are probably pushing more than like when I'm up there, I'm pulling a lot. I'm pulling, set up, going over a drop. Pulling, set up, going over a drop. I'm sure I'm pushing some stuff, but I'm pulling.
Yeah, but it's not pulling, set up, over a drop. It's pulling, go over a drop, then get over to that other drop really fast. And some of those drops you can turn to pull, and other drops you have to turn and put, you have to push just the way you go into them, the way you're coming out of them. And
I'm not saying I don't ever push. I would never push. And also with the oar paddle combo, you're more likely to push than if you were in a cap boat. If you're cap boating the creek, you're probably going to pull a lot. I'm going to pull a lot.
Who's the professor?
Oh, I'll tell you this in a second. We'll get to that in a second. But I do want to say, if you're North Fork Payette, you're probably mostly pushing. Because you're basically just pushing through big laterals. There's not a whole lot of like pulling across the river.
The North Fork isn't technical in the same way that Cherry Creek is technical.
Yeah.
It's a different style. It's more big features, I feel like, versus Cherry Creek's big rocks.
Yeah. So I think also, whether you push or you pull or the combination of them is super river dependent. Like in the Grand Canyon, I'm not going to push that much. I'm going to push the flats. I'm going to like downstream ferry a lot.
No, Grand Canyon, you push bank. All the time. What did you do at Hermit? You pushed.
I don't think I pushed.
What did you do at Granite? You pushed.
I'm pretty sure
Granite and Hermit. You don't remember Granite and Hermit?
I get them all mixed
Horn. Up. You probably, well, it depends on the flow horn. Horn at low water, you pull.
I downstream ferried everything. Why would
bedrock,
I push?
Like, you push. Crystal, you push you going left. You could push going right at Crystal.
You just lost credibility.
Dumendorf, you could push. What?
No, you just lost credibility. You do not push bedrock. That's nonsense. Just because
you push. You push.
Stop.
Upset.
Just stop. Nope.
Would you push or pull lava? Do you push or pull lava?
I push. Generally,
you push lava. You push lava. You're not pulling lava.
But you're not pushing moves that much. When you need to make a move somewhere, you're pulling or downstream ferrying.
Sockdology.
Don't give me this
push.
Like. Don't give me this cocky guide stuff. This Aaron. This
no,
is the
but you
this
do.
Is,
are you not pulling Sockdology? You're not pulling Grapevine. You're pushing those.
People are not pushing
and
18-foot gearboats through rapids.
You push. What?
Aaron, you're being argumentative. You're taking the opposite side on purpose.
What are you talking
by
about?
By saying you push bedrock, you lost all credibility with me on this topic. Like
that was just
person,
to get your that was just to get your goat a little.
Yeah,
bit.
All
the
of this.
Them,
is,
all the rest of them are true. Okay, let's start at the top. Is. Okay,
we're not going to go to the Grand Canyon. Hey,
we're going to run the Grand Canyon rapid by rapid and discuss.
Aaron, when you say
rapid,
I've only done the Grand Canyon twice. So when you say a rapid name, I only know like three of them: Crystal, the big one, and Bedrock. The rest of them are all blur to me.
Well,
let's move on.
Yeah, you're pushing a lot.
Okay. Cool.
You're also probably pushing. I mean, you push a lot of the big rapids. The majority of them you're pushing.
I didn't. And
yeah, you did.
I think a lot of people. I didn't. I pulled or I either.
That's
pulled
why you guys had
degrees.
So many problems.
I didn't have problems. We had problems at Bedrock. Okay. The professor is Dustin. You know Dustin? Dustin from Oars?
Yeah.
And then the technician is Brody. And Liz is Dustin's partner. Is that how you say it? I don't know what the kids are saying these days. Liz is Dustin's partner.
Oh,
okay, man. The Idaho Continental Trail. There goes through Boundary Creek. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. Lots of down trees on the Idaho. Yeah, probably specifically on the Subway Bitterroot because they don't do trail maintenance out there. You know, I went hiking on my Subway trip at Moose Creek and it's just a bunch of burnt down, overgrown trails.
Where'd you try to go? Did you try to go to
everywhere? I tried everything.
No,
every
I
direction.
I know where you probably and tried to go to.
I tried to cross the river and hike to the side, and it was overgrown.
What?
I went to the. I went to
the river trail that they use to they bring all the supplies in on.
I tried
mule.
To like you crossed the bridge.
That one was that one was overgrown. You mean the one that's like 4 feet wide because
I tried to go hiking and I was summer. Like I really wanted to go hiking because I heard about the hiking being great and everything is overgrown. I'm sure some I'm sure the subway is great when they can clear the trail. I'm sure the hiking is great someday when people go in there that love the river.
Zach, we launched well before this year. We launched well before you launched last year, and every year we launch before that trip, and every year we hike a lot of trails. And some aren't well, they're not all well maintained, and there's definitely some problems because of the Wilderness Act and not being able to use chainsaws. And it does get complicated for sure maintaining all those trails out there. But the major ones are well maintained because they
well,
have
Aaron,
to run
someday. I'll go on a subway trip with you and you can show me these secret hikes that everybody loves. I
they're
couldn't
not
find
secret. You can go to I'll put them all on BR Expeditions for you. So
there
you can
go.
Know where
do
cool
do a are. Blog post about it, and then when I do the Selway again, when I feel like
all the hikes Zach chooses not to all the hikes Zach chooses not to do on the Selway that are better than every hike on the Middle Fork. How about that?
The Middle Fork is just straight up better hiking. Like it's just
you didn't even do any hiking, and you were with guys who didn't like to hike. The people on your trip don't hike.
Aaron, you know in the Middle Fork there's rocks. I know the Selway just has trees, but there's rocks and there's cliffs and there's things to walk and there's waterfalls to check out. we hiked to a waterfall that was like a 6-foot waterfall. And I was like, this is hiking to a waterfall. Like it was, we hiked to it. Like it was a big deal. I'm like, this is a 6-foot waterfall. We took selfies.
Yeah, I think that more like, speaks it was amazing. To the guiding on your trip and less to the
no, I had great guides.
Because that is a big hike for that group. That is a big hike for that group.
But
I'll say that, that's a big hike.
I just did the metaphor with the Vail Falls. That's ridiculous. You're standing under this like 100-foot waterfall.
Yeah, with 250 of your favorite friends. With 250.
Oh, that's exactly. You
friends.
Always, every time I win on this argument, you go back to that. 250 favorite friends.
Vail Falls is beautiful. Vail Falls is incredible. I just would rather be someplace without 250 of my favorite friends.
Aaron, it's not. You don't see that many people. Like you, there are other people there.
How are the wild strawberries on the Mill Fork?
They're fine. They're delightful.
No, you don't see many thimbleberries. That's the other cool thing about hiking the Soviet.
Berries.
It's like continual snacks the whole way up. Yeah, I love it. We're just berries. Pounding. We're pounding huckleberries, strawberries, thimbleberries.
The Soviet's so fun because of the berries, huh? That's
it
a big
is.
Selling
the
point.
Berries the are berries. Amazing. You haven't
There's
had a wild
berries
strawberry.
On the Mill Fork.
Have you had a wild strawberry?
Everybody's had a wild strawberry. Aaron,
have you had a wild strawberry?
Yes. I go hiking here and there's wild strawberries. I can go my back up in Mount Hood.
Maybe
there's
they're
wild
not
strawberries
as good
everywhere.
As the Selway Bitter ones.
Yeah, no, I get
you
it.
You would enjoy them more.
The Selway is so great because of its berries. I get that.
Chris, hey, first smoke jumpers, where'd they jump out of? Oh, Moose Creek Ranger Station. What's like one of the like part of the original wilderness, the original areas they want to protect? The Selway Bitterroot.
The Frank Church was listed in the original act. It just wasn't actually wilderness.
When did it finally become wilderness?
In 80. It's hard. It's hard
in
to
the
make,
80s. In the 80s.
Make, it's hard to make
after
2.
You and I were
2
born.
Million acres as wilderness.
It's not 2 easy. Million acres.
The Frank Church is 2.2 million acres.
Is it?
Yes. Selway. And I think the Selway was the Selway.
The Selway is a building.
I'm looking at it right now. It's 1.3 million acres, and that's the Selway and Bitterroot combined. Really?
Yeah, see, Selway? 1.3. Dude, get your facts straight. 1.3 is not 2 million. That's a lot less.
No. Yeah. The Frank Church is 2.2 million. The Selway Bitterroot is 1.3 million.
Yeah, the Selway Bitterroot, they added more to it after a while.
Yeah, you don't just...
Originally, it was 1 million. And they added some more.
It was probably originally just the Selway Wilderness, right? And then the Bitterroot Wilderness, and they probably merged them. That's my guess. That's why it's the Selway-Bitterroot Wilderness. I'm not dying to open up the Wilderness Act in front of us right now and reading through it, but I'm guessing they can't get the whole Frank Church in there in the original act. They'll never pass. Okay.
See, this is, the 2.3 million is a combination of the two. Yeah.
No, the Frank Church is 2.2 million acres. We have to play on Google and the stupid
because
thing.
They say that 2.36.
No, it's 2.366 million. So it's almost 2.4 million acres.
I see what it's they're not... saying. I misunderstood this. Yeah. Yep. You're right.
There's people who say that the Selway and the Frank Church are the largest contiguous wilderness area when you combine the two, but the Frank Church is 2.4. So it's just a million acres bigger. No big deal. No, not that much. They're not going to get that passed.
Way less important. Way less important.
Okay. Next time I want to get attacked by bugs for 5 days or 6 days, I'll go do the Selway. I can't wait to go get attacked by bugs at some point or like wear a whole bug suit for 6 days. When I'm ready for that, I will go with you to the Selway.
Well, you know what? Next time I want to poop and throw up all at the same time, I'll go head over to the Mill Fork and get
knock on wood. That hasn't happened yet.
Virus. Yeah, the norm.
All right. All right, let's. I have one more video to share.
Okay.
And I gotta put myself on because there's construction happening.
Okay, what are we watching here?
Do you know where we are? You let me know when you figure out where we're at.
Oh, I think I know where we are, but let's see. Keep going.
I'm back. Sure. Instructions stopped.
I thought I knew, and now I'm not so sure.
What was your guess? Tell me what your guess was. This is, hey, Aaron, by the way, this is what a river with rocks looks like.
Yeah. This is on the Illinois. This is where I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if this was the Selway, there wouldn't be, those are rocks. We have those on the Illinois in the Middle Fork. Yeah, I know on the Selway, it's just trees and dirt. But this is what.
Are you really?
I don't remember there being rocks. Look at all those rocks. That's what rocks, that's what geology looks like. Okay, what rapid is this, Aaron?
Are you really serious in saying that? Are you blind? You know what's on the Selway is there's the Idaho Bathlet is all over the Selway Bitterroot.
I don't remember that. I hiked one time and I saw some batholith. But not like this, not like grandeur like the Illinois of like amazing geology. Okay, what rapid is this? Aaron, what rapid is this?
I forget the name of it. What do you call it?
You're such a Selway guy. This is York Creek.
Yeah, that's right. York Creek, thanks. It's been a couple years since I've been out there. Last time I went out there was with you, Zach. How many years ago was that? That was a while ago.
First of all, can I talk about this Yeti bag that I got? I got this for the Grand Canyon. It's a $400 dry bag that zips and unzips, and it was great, super easy to use. And then on this Selway trip, this evening of this trip, the zipper broke. I'm sorry, this Illinois trip, the zipper broke. So I sent it back and got a new one and then sold it on eBay. So it's a bummer when your dry bag zipper breaks on a cold, rainy trip.
Yeah, totally.
Cool bag until the zipper broke. Okay, so this is my final video for today's pushing versus pulling. And I'm going to show off. I'm going to show me rowing. And I think this is where I think I'm just showing me pulling a lot. And so here, like this first move, you can't
no, you're push pushing, if you you're want pushing to. And you're tracking over there. Okay.
I'm tracking, but then I have to
off
like
the wall. You're slowing off the wall.
Yeah.
So you're working really hard here now because you're having to pull off that wall.
Yeah, because it's a hard rapid. It's not class 2+. You have to pull off the wall. And here you want to get right. And so I'm pulling, I'm ferrying over and I'm 90 degrees. I'm pulling to get right. What are you laughing at, Aaron?
Oh, that comment that says, I really enjoy watching these two argue. Yeah.
Don't my egg them on.
My wife hates it.
I hate it too. Don't egg them on. I'm pushing here a little bit. I'm tracking over. I have to get right. I'm trying to track over. I'm not making it. So I just turn the boat. And again, 90 degrees, pretty much 90 degrees of the current, a tiny bit of ferrying, yarding myself.
I get a little more angle. Since I'm not as big and strong as you. Oh, by the way, I want to talk, like, I am not psyched anymore on those new MXG oars by Sawyer.
Hey, hold on, let's get to that in a second. Hold on, Aaron. Let's finish this, and then we can argue about our stuff. But I just want to point out, like, in class 4 rapids, in class 3 rapids, like we saw Brody do, pulling is an important and valued technique. And I want to make the case, like a lot of guides, especially guides on like class 3 rivers, are going to tell you push, 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 push. And when you want to move yourself up to a more difficult river, like the Middle Fork of the Salmon, for example, like the Illinois, you need those pulling moves. Like you can push all day, but if you want to progress, you need pulling plus you need downstream ferrying. And so I really want to make the case, everybody, please practice pulling, use pulling. Don't just push. Don't put pushing on a pedestal like it's better. It's not. It's a technique for rowing.
I'm gonna say this. It's kind of like the paddle boat captains who only forward paddle and don't call commands.
Yeah,
it's true. Don't call turns.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I just forward. I don't call turns. I just do it all myself. It's like, yeah, you can't run the hardest stuff if you're not calling turns at times.
Yep.
Like that's just not going to work for you. You know, like I'll say, even on Cherry Creek with an oar paddle combo, we're still calling turns and we've got oars, you know, like you, and I think it's the same here, Zach, is you need to, if you want to be good at boating, you need to develop all your tools. And those tools include forwarding, backing, downstream ferry, and it occurs knowing how to bounce off a rock, knowing how to use rocks to slow yourself down, knowing how to use holes to slow yourself down. You know what I mean? Knowing how to do all those things, dragging eddy lines, doing all those different little details so you can get down the river. So, yeah, totally agree.
I think the paddle boat one is a really good example. I think Like you can, like guiding the South Fork, you could probably get the South Fork with just forwards and backs, maybe whatever you could do.
Just,
well,
I mean, you could just do forwards on the South Fork.
You probably could. But if you then want to go work somewhere else that's harder, if you've only ever forwarded, you don't have the skills it takes to run the harder river. Like using your forwards and your backs and your turns and your overs is something you can't learn on the job when you're running, like going to work on the Quia or Norfolk American or Tuolumne. Like you have to have developed that. So like just because you can forward everything doesn't mean you should. And like for me, like paddle guiding, I hurt my back a lot because I was twisting so much to one direction and doing these big prize, big draws. And I think I just started calling turns for everything and barely using my paddle just for small things. And that was better for my back, but I feel like it was good practice for when I went and ran harder rivers. Yeah. I needed to know how to use those things. No, so
I agree. You have to figure out how you use them before you really need them. That's, and we've discussed this before, like turning class three into class four or class two into class three. And part of this by using different techniques. And, you know, you can be like, hey, I'm only going to push this rapid. Hey, I'm going to only pull this rapid. Hey, I'm going to only use downstream ferries in this rapid, which means seems silly in the moment. And is it the most effective? But it's a good way to like build your skills and practice different techniques, even if you don't need them. Okay, I'm going to pull into every eddy on this with a downstream ferry on this rapid. Then that's going to get you better at downstream ferrying. Okay, I'm going to pull off of everything. But when I pull, I'm going to try to get strong angles this time. I'm going to try to stay perpendicular current when I pull. Yeah. Now, it makes sense. Are we ready to talk about the MXGs?
That's my one point I didn't think of. What I'm seeing on is guides on the Rogue telling people they should push everything. I'm seeing that as a trend. That's what's coming up. It's multiple companies, guides.
If the guys are saying that, are they actually pushing Blossom Bar?
They're not. That's where they're like not. But I feel like you can get.
Are they really pushing Wildcat to avoid those rocks?
I think they are. Once you memorize Wildcat, when I go run Wildcat, I do the Rogue once or twice a year. I'm pulling Wildcat. I pull it for sure. I don't want to make a mistake. But I think once you're there for, you know, five seasons, like you learn to push Wildcat. You know, you learn, of course, then the water drops and you might get into trouble, but you don't get it. Pushing these rapids doesn't make you better. Like try it with a pole one time. Like instead of doing the same thing over and over and over, just pushing the rapids, do these moves with the pole, do these moves with downstream ferry, like change it up. So you're developing your skills. Cause you can, these people come at the middle fork and get destroyed, just destroyed. And then they come out, have one bad trip. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. This isn't one person in particular. I'm talking about seats over and over and over, and they don't get invited back because they just didn't do well. And they don't have all the well-rounded skills to work out there.
It's hard to develop your skills on the Rogue in one way. I mean, if you're working like commercial trips and stuff like that, like, cause it's a difficult place to really build your skills. I think like the South Fork, the Americans better day stretches up. There's a lot of places better than the Rogue for building skills. I even think, you know, the rivers in Utah are better for that, like the Lador and the Yampa. Yeah, I think it's
Yampa.
Like, you can build to one level, but after that, it just kind of.
You can build on the Rogue too. You just need to like try catching new eddies, try new techniques. Don't just like push everything.
Like, that's true. But if you're working a commercial trip, you can't be like catching every eddy going to, and I guess you can work on a little bit, but
I certainly can. Like you can, if you're setting safety somewhere, like catch the river right eddy, catch river left eddy. Like
I'm going to say this too. Like commercial guides I see down there, how everyone's using oar paddle combos and not wanting to use paddle boats on there. Like, I think that's just like, it's keeping you from developing your skills again. It means that you're going to have a hard time when you go to other rivers. Versus if you're paddle boating, you're going to use more finesse. So if you want to be a good guide, just take a straight paddle boat and get better at it. It's a great
for
place
me.
To work
like
on your
we, if you work on the Rogue, you generally don't have the skills to work the middle fork because you didn't learn to paddle boat correctly. People say, "Oh no, I can paddle boat." I'm like, "No, you can row people down the river, calling forward and back. You can't. You don't know how to like get a boat down 5 miles of flat water. Like that's a skill." Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know how to like call really complicated turns and how to prep people for rapids, keep them in the boat. Like there's so many things you only learn paddle boating. So yeah, the rogue is not proper preparation to guide the middle fork. Okay. I want to,
talk about, the MXGs. Are you avoiding the conversation?
Nope. I'm ready for you. What do you got?
So on our Selway trips, I took out some MXGs that had been used for a couple of seasons now. And there's just so much play around where the blade hooks in that you lose a lot of power.
What? Just fix that.
How?
You can tighten and pull the screw out.
What?
Where the blade has the screw.
Then get it fixed. That's not the problem.
No, then get the oar fixed. That's the problem is the oar, especially the old ones. So like Sawyer, I mean, it's hard to see what you're talking about, but like.
Basically, the opening at the end.
The hole gets too big.
It gets loosened up over time.
Yep.
And it's kind of crappy. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. It was a
junky oar. It felt like those old Carlisle ones that would like bend a bunch. And I was just like,
so there's like, two things. One, that good. I have like the older oars, the older MXGs do them more than newer. The newer ones are better. The older ones.
That's because they're newer. Give them a couple of years and they'll be crappy too.
No. Even from 5-6 years ago, it's not a problem. But you do have to, like, if that hole gets too big, bring them back to Sawyer and say, fix this. And they can do a thing called a bell end repair and they fix it.
They'll all have a better flex anyways. I could get way more. I could push with way more power. The first trip I used the MXGs, the second trip I used an all ash oar, and the all ash I could drive more power into it. The way it flexed everything. It was a better oar, both by Sawyer, mind you. But the flex of the ash is way better. I know outfitters want to buy the MXGs because they're cheaper and you can replace the blade and blah, blah, blah.
No, I mean, Aaron, hold on. My crew, I have both wood and composites, and my crew takes the composites. So there's a couple things. Depends which ones you had, you know, like.
I want to see your wood oars that you've got around for them.
Okay, well, lots to talk about here. First of all, we get a very specific MXG. And so like we get there's the MXSG, which is a small diameter, which is part of the problem you might be having with the things.
No, it's not the small diameter. We got the large diameter.
Okay. So, and then we get the extra, I say extra duty everything. So they put extra carbon on there. It's like really nice or stiff.
So it has no flex.
It has flex, especially 11 foot oars, but I don't like flex, but whatever you, with your weak shoulders, you can have all the, you can get flex. I don't think wood oars flex that well personally either.
Oh, wood oars totally flex.
Aaron, Sawyer's wood oars. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to.
Talking about the stouts. No, the stouts don't, but you're like, you got the, yeah, the super stouts. No, they don't. But the regular, the white oars definitely flex.
I just don't think they're making this one here. You like this one? The whitewater. I just don't think I haven't seen a Sawyer ore that's wood that I've liked in a long time. Like we tried to get them.
I think they make them. I will say now. I think they're making them too thin or too thick, not in between. I kind of agree with that.
I ordered a bunch. The throats were too thin. We were snapping them like crazy. Then I said, "Give me the thickest throat you can." It was like 4 inches thick. It was insane. Nobody wanted to reel these ores. I have all these stouts that nobody will row because
you know. Thick. You know what? I did tell you what Crom did. With ours, it's your Mac. Mm-hmm. He'd plane down the throat a little bit and get it in between. Start with the thicker and plane it down a little bit and kind of planed it like, you know how theirs go like this and they open up like this. He kind of planed it more at an angle like this and kind of shaved it down. And then they were nice. They still had enough weight. They could balance and they had more flex and they weren't quite so heavy. Yeah. And they didn't snap like the whitewater ore.
I mean, $500 for one ash ore for a 10 footer. It's a lot of money, Aaron.
I got 5 10-foot oars sitting in my storage unit now, 5 ash ones. Wow, that's a lot of money there. $2,500 in oars.
I have ash oars here I'm selling if anybody wants them for $200 a piece, some 10s and 11s. But if you want to email me or contact me, I'll be home in 2 weeks. If Sawyer, you know those Clavio oars we use on the Tuolumne? That's the classic Clavies. I have some. I have my set here I used to use from back in the day. I picked them up the other day. And I'm like, oh, these are beautiful. I love these oars. And I almost brought them on my Illinois trip a couple months ago. And I'm like, the lighter oars, just the swing weight's way less. It's just less. It's less weight to carry down the boat, carry up. It's just, they weigh less. It's less carrying. And rowing all day long with the wood oars, they're just heavier. But they were sweet. I picked them up like, oh, I remember these oars. These are sweet oars. I think if Sawyer made the perfect wood oar and they got it right,
I don't know why they're not going to make the Clavy version. The Clavy version was really nice. That was probably the nicest sword they made. That's a good point.
And before I say this, I'm a Sawyer ambassador. I might lose my ambassadorship for saying this, but like Sawyer, their wood ores for Whitewater kind of suck. Like they don't have it. They don't. And I'm not buying wood ores from them anymore because I buy them and I don't get what I think is good. And so I can't justify buying the wood ores anymore. Now, maybe you had the perfect wood ore when you're in Idaho and like, this is the perfect ore. They don't make that ore anymore. I don't know why or how. It's just don't. And I think, so if it was the perfect wood ore, I'd be happy with it. But the carbon ores, they just weigh less. They are multiple parts. So if you break it, you only broke half. Like we broke three blades on our trip recently. And the guys are like, oh, I just rode in flat water and the ore exploded, which they hit a downstream ore. That's for sure what they did. That would have been three ores. That would have been $1,500. Instead, it was three blades. That was like $900,000. I don't know how much blades are anymore, but you're only breaking half the ore. They're light. And our guides, if you show them wood ores and composite ores, they're taking the composites. If I'm running the wind, I want the composites. I don't want wood ores in the wind. There's no need to have the wood ores. If I'm running low water Tuolumne, low water Selway, low water Middle Fork, I probably would prefer the wood.
Why?
If
that?
It was the right one, because I like bashing him on rock. Like you're pulling off rocks a lot, and I think wood's nice for when you're bashing him on things a lot. You know how you on the Tuolumne used to just like take an orange yard on a rock to get stuck, or you're somewhere and you're stuck in stern and you're just like two horners like pulling really hard. You can't really do that with a composite. And so I think I have a slight preference for the wood ores. But again, I don't think Sawyer is putting much energy or thought into these wood ores anymore. And I think if Sawyer hears this and I lose my ambassadorship, so be it.
You know what's interesting is Crom glues all those ores back together, the wood ores, the ash ores when they break. And it's interesting, he says, we've talked about this before. If it's a really clean break, he'll just put wood glue in it and clamp it. And then I said, will it break again in the same spot? He's like, nope, if it breaks, it'll break someplace else. It won't break where the wood glue is. And he works on him every winter. And the guy's, he's a precision guy. He says it has to be a really clean cut. But like, if you lose part of a blade, he'll take a piece of ash and make them both flat and glue it on there with wood glue and then shape it down. He says, yeah, it's good to go.
I mean, it's if you're a woodworker,
you think about like those people who made, remember those people used to make those composite wood, like wood kayak paddles, and that guy was making those composite wood oars too, of just a bunch of like strips of wood, and those ones were really strong too. So
yeah, we had.
I'm not saying I'm going to go buy a pair of them, but if exactly. I want my outfitters,
oh, to you buy want me your outfitter to buy?
I want the outfitter to buy me a pair and pay me lots of money. That's what I want. So yeah.
I could see wanting, like Arda probably has those really nice oars from back in the day.
They're running out. They're all breaking.
And what are you going to replace them with? Not this, not whatever this is for $500 each. Like, and the MXGs do great.
I was going to say, I was a bigger fan of the MXGs before this last trip. And then this last trip, I was just like,
fix the hole. Like Arda needs to take all, I'm guessing it's an Arda oar. Take all those ones, the holes are too big, drive them all to Sawyer in September, draw them off, say, fix these, do a bell end repair, you'll get them back and they'll be stoked. They'll be awesome.
I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. There's other problems with the MXGs, but that's the main, that was the one that was like just too much. I don't like the flex. I don't like the feel on the water. I don't have the same feel for the water with them as I do with the wood. The wood has a better...
You're nostalgic. That's nostalgia. Like if you never used wood, you'd be happy.
Well, I'm happy on the river anyways, but
yeah. That's nostalgia. You get over that fast. What else?
We got more comments here.
Oh, you wanted to get the comments. So instead of answering my question, to hone your skills, do this all day long. What else is wrong with MXGs? All I'm hearing is the flex. Like you want more
flex. The handle, that weird shaped handle. Just give me a regular shaped handle. Don't make it all like ergonomical, whatever.
I'd rather have a wood handle
than that weird stuff that chunks up and gets pull
the stuff off. You can pull the stuff off. Then you have a wood handle.
No, but then it's like small diameter. Then it's like for little
just
baby.
You can buy the wood handle. Just say, so here, I want the wood handle for adult
hands. So I have to buy new ones. Oh, yeah.
I don't mind. I like the rubber thing. That's fine. I mean, I'm used to it. I like it. This smoker has a rubber
thing on. Wood's natural, you know. I don't feel as bad if, yeah, I just.
Oh, you don't mind cutting trees down for an ore?
I love cutting trees down, yes.
Okay, anyway. I am, if I have.
Zach, trees grow, that you grow new trees.
Aaron, I'm going to finish this up. If I have the perfect wood ore, I'm super stoked on it. It's a great ore. Good luck finding the perfect wood ore. And the MXGs are great. I love rowing with them. I want a stiff work because I understand science.
I'm gonna say I prefer the cataract shafts and energy. The MXGs.
Now you're just being an asshole.
No, I do.
Stop. Is absolutely
garbage. I'm not sponsored by Sawyer. Zach is sponsored by Sawyer. Or whatever. You're a Sawyer ambassador.
I'm not sponsored.
That's a new cool name is ambassador. You're an ambassador.
Not after this show, but I'm gonna tell you one thing: the Carlisles are garbage. You got to be kidding me!
No, the cataract shafts, not the straight Carlisles. The cataracts. I like the cataract shafts. The cataract shafts are light. Too. They have a nice flex to them. That's what we use down in Chile. I liked running those.
I like wood ores unless they're the ones that you don't like, Zach. You're just being argumentative. You're losing credibility with me.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I prefer the cataract shafts. If I were to buy the cataract shafts over the MXGs.
Cataracts are so. You should go see if you could be a cataract ambassador. All right, let's move on. Jay
is cataract shafts. I'll be your ambassador.
Okay, yes. Jay, to hone your skills, do the skill all day long in the rivers you're most familiar with. For example, pull every rapid next time. Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Do things. Jay is an absolute. Badass. Jay is a great guy. Him and I have an ongoing battle at Clackfest over the surfing competition, which we need to finish our. I think we're tied 1-1. We have to have one more surf competition. Jay, one thing on oar length: do not do the 1/3 inside, 2/3 outside. I know we were having this discussion the other day. That's so. If it's 1/3 on the inside, 2/3 on the outside, that's simplistic. That's basically the same as multiplying the distance between the oar locks by 1.5. The math works out that way. So instead of 1.5, do the 1.63. Please, trust me on this. Please.
That's right, like 1.6 versus 1.63
versus 1.5. Just a little bit longer oars. Everybody out there, their oars are too short. So it just makes you need a little bit longer oar. It makes a difference. Trust me. We can argue about it, but I'm not going to. Okay. I love Aaron and Zach's comment about they're just a tool in a toolbox.
Sure.
Yep. 100%, man. These are just tools. Turn twos into threes. Yep. 100%. Isn't Steve for yours?
Probably. Steve's a smart one. I bet he does
prefer wood oars. Nostalgia for Steve, too. Steve is like 30, 40 years.
Steve likes the moose beaters. He likes those super heavy oars that like break your back. He likes the Macho Man oars, Steve does. So, yeah, he's not here to speak for himself.
Have you ever rode the Sotor SL Captain with the odd-shaped tube design? I haven't. I don't think Aaron has. I'm going to speak for you, Aaron, here. Oh. They look cool. I mean, I think they're really good for rivers you push a lot. Like I'd run it on North Fork Payette. I'd run it on a high water middle fork and just push everything. But as soon as you have to pull, you know what the Sotor SL Cat is, Aaron?
No.
You know what he's referring to? Have you seen this? It's pretty cool. I like that. It looks, let's see if I can find a photo of it. They may not have it on the website shop. Here we go. Let me pull this back up.
Hey, we're gonna have to wrap this up pretty soon. I got places to go, things to do.
All right, have you seen this cat before, Aaron?
Oh my God, what is that thing? That looks so crazy.
The cat. I think it's great for pushing a lot. As soon as you have to like pull moves, like I wouldn't run this down the wind at regular, maybe at like high water, but this is not a technical boating cat. You would not take this down Cherry Creek. You would not take this down a lot of stuff. It's kind of a one trick pony for high water pushing for. Yeah, at least somebody else notices what's going on.
Yeah, I'm a little. That's all I can stay awake with Zach. Is otherwise he just starts showing us this boring video of no people just floating down,
Aaron,
waiting for them for like 10 minutes to get to. You start like 10 minutes above Velvet, and we're just watching float.
It's not true. Float. I was fast forwarding.
I'm gonna watch that part to fall asleep tonight. That's gonna be great. Great sleeping, make me go to sleep. So
this is the Orlink thing. This is
that doesn't make sense. Plus 6 inches. That doesn't make sense.
I'm gonna look at our orders.
It'll work at certain places, but it's not gonna work consistently. I think makes a lot of sense. Plus 6 inches. So if you have 20-foot oars, you do 20-foot 6. That doesn't make sense.
I think
it may work within a certain range. It might work well, but I think Zach's makes more sense. I'm gonna go with Zach's. Aaron.
Wow, that violence comment really got to you.
Man, like, I'm ready to roll. Let's fight. I'm either fighting or sleeping.
I like where your head's at on this, Mike. 1.5 is not enough. You need more. So 1.5 plus 6 inches, is better than 1.5. Like 1.5 is actually like, I'm gonna go so far. Like a lot of people who sell rafting gear do the 1.5, and I'm gonna say, not incompetent, but like, what is it when you give people bad information, but you don't know better? Is there a legal term for that when you're like you should know better because you sell people rafting gear but you don't, and so you're selling them the wrong stuff all the time? Is there a word for that, Aaron?
I think they're doing the best that they can. I think that's what it's called.
They're doing the best they can.
They think that's the right decision because that's what they've been told.
Yeah,
it's my mom's ham. I told you about my mom's ham, right?
But they should know better. They're selling people stuff. Like people all over the place have.
But yeah, people who sit, you know, it's like outfitters. You know, the people who sell stuff are like outfitters. And like what I'm going to say is like outfitters sit behind their desks and do their work, and then they come and tell you that like how to guide, and you're like, dude, I'm the one guiding all the time. You're sitting behind the desk. You sell trips. We guide. So. And I think the same is true with these people who are selling gear. They're inside all day selling gear. They're not out using it all the time. So they don't know it that well. And they're doing the best that they can. Just like those outfitters are doing the best that they can. They come out to run rivers. They're doing the best that they can.
They can do better. They can do better.
You're right. Those outfitters can do better. Thanks, Zach. I agree.
And so can the people in the store. Like, hey, Aaron, are you talking about me? Aaron, I'm on the river all the time. I still know how to guide.
You're on the river way more than I am. I know it's an era. The argument with you isn't true, but a lot of outfitters, it is true. They are better at selling trips. And some of them recognize it, and some do a really good
job.
Here's
the thing. A lot of them
are guides. Like Marty, Marty did do the guiding, but Marty's also good at recognizing he's not out there every day.
Here's what you have to recognize, Aaron. The people who, and I didn't recognize this when I was a guide, the people who are outfitters used to be badass guides. They used to be the top of the food chain. Awesome.
Not true. Not true. Here's what happened. The outfitters are the people who no one wanted to work with, and they didn't get to do the cool rivers. So they decided they had to become outfitters so they could actually go work those rivers and be on those rivers and to show everyone what's what.
I think that's
the case. So you're an outfitter, so you don't hear the guide talk. That's the guide talk. People become outfitters. It's like those who can't teach, those who can't guide become outfitters.
Aaron, you need to be careful. I mean, YouTube.
That's a known thing among the guiding community.
Are you bad mouth? I don't know if that's true.
I'm never going to work again for any outfitters, I'm sure. But that's kind of a known thing, Zach. Accepted within the industry.
I think there's some outfitters whose parents bought them the company, or I don't know, they inherited it. That could be the case for sure.
I can name you a lot, but people would be insulted. So
anybody
who had outfitters, when they come out on the river, you're just like, dude, we got to watch out for them, and we got to run to safety. And you're
what
like,
I'm saying is like 15,
like
10, 15 years ago, they
Scott Armstrong exception. Scott
how
Armstrong
did you
really
answer? Don't put names out there, Aaron.
And I said Scott's an exception. He's a great
a good example. Yeah,
Scott's
a
great
like,
one.
What are you doing? But Aaron,
no, Scott's a great one. Scott's an outfitter and
what I'm saying
a great
is like
quote.
A long
you do
time
too,
ago,
Zach, but you guys are exceptions.
Don't kiss my ass, Aaron.
All right, I gotta go. I would love to take this conversation, but I got someone more important to keep happy than you. So we have to wrap this
up. Here's the word I'm looking for, by the way. I think it's negligent.
Negligence? It's a little negligent. That could be. Hey, you guys, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't liked and subscribed, please like and subscribe. Zach, how many viewers do we have now?
We have 36 viewers right now, but we have 10,700 subscribers. I think we just lost Aaron. Anyway, thanks everybody for watching. Aaron, we caught Aaron in the mood, luckily. And I'm on the river next week. And so we won't do a show for a couple weeks. But thank you everybody for the support, the show. Aaron, take a chill pill. See you in a couple weeks.
All right, bye.